be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the works that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted them, and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel we begin 3 days entering to the intimacy of Jesus' prayer in the upper room. For the last 3 weeks, we've been pondering what Jesus said on Holy Thursday. But for the most part, up until now, Jesus has been teaching. He's been teaching, for example, about the reality of our communion with him in the parable of the vine and the branches. He's been teaching about the love of the Father for us and the way that that love is supposed to overflow in the way that we love others. He's been teaching us about the Holy Spirit and about so many other truths. In the 17th chapter of St. John, we get an inner window into Jesus' prayer. He should have been thinking about how much he would suffer within hours. He should have had thoughts that were more reflective on what he would undergo on the morrow when he would be crucified, just as the prophets had foretold. But instead, he was thinking about far different things. For those of us who love the Lord, it's so important for us to take advantage of this privilege and enter into his prayer. Let's parse it. Father, the hour has come. Jesus has been waiting for this time. On so many other occasions he had said, my hour has not yet come. But now it was, and he was going to have this intimate conversation with the Father. And he asked twice for something that at first glance might seem somewhat egocentric, somewhat selfish, but it's not. Give glory to your Son. A little later, glorify me, Father, with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. It's not selfish because of two things that likewise come. He says, give glory to your Son that your Son may glorify you. Jesus recognized that his glory had a purpose. It was the glorification of the Father. And the Son was asking to have his exaltation noticed, precisely so that he could exalt the Father's love. But then later he describes exactly what his glorification will look like when he says, I have been glorified in them. Jesus' glory is precisely in us when we come fully alive with that life that he entered the world to give us. when we begin to receive and respond to that gift of the Holy Spirit he pours out upon us, when we begin to abide in his word and let it bear great fruit. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said that you are the light of the world, and so let your light shine before others, so that they may see that fruit, those good deeds, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are Jesus' glory, and that's why he was praying for us. Jesus goes on to describe that he had come to give us life to the full, eternal life, which is what? Having this deep, intimate friendship with God, that they might know you, not know about you, but know you, Konyasir, the only true God, and the one whom you have sent, Jesus. Our eternal life begins here with that knowledge. Jesus glorified the Father by accomplishing the work that he had been given to do, precisely by helping us enter into that friendship, so that through that friendship we might glorify the Father. He's given us the Father's name so that we would be able to communicate with the Father, so that we might have an I-thou relationship with him. He thanked the Father for the fact that we and those before us have kept his word, and that we know that Jesus has given us everything that the Father had given him, because Jesus wasn't giving us things. Jesus was giving us himself. Jesus says here what he will repeat in these next 2 days. I pray for them. Jesus was praying first for the apostles and then for all those who would hear his word through them. He prays for us still. To enter into Jesus' prayer, to see how important it is for us to allow his gift to flow through us so that the Father may be glorified, so that we might intimately know the Father. These are all things that Jesus deeply wants for us. St. Paul was someone who experienced these gifts. How much fruit did he bear in glorification of God? How much did he know the Father and the Son, as we see in so many of his beautiful prayers that have been made into canticles? So great was his intimacy that he would say, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He lived by the Lord. It was no longer he who was living, but Christ was living within him. He had spent 2 years in Ephesus, and now it was going to be time for his valedictory address. He was going to see the people of Ephesus no more. And today and tomorrow we'll get his farewell discourse at the port of Miletus. And just as sincerely and as openly as Jesus spoke to the Father, St. Paul spoke to the Ephesians. You know that I lived among you from the whole, how I lived among you from the whole time that I first came to the province of Asia. He had lived in a particular way, revealing the presence of God. I serve the Lord with all humility. He made his own tents in order to support himself. He wasn't asking them for a thing. And with tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews, I didn't shrink at all from telling you from what was for your benefit. St. Paul suffered out of love for them. And he wasn't afraid, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, he shared it all, including those parts that were most challenging, because he knew it was for their benefit. He taught in public, he taught in homes, he taught everywhere. He earnestly, and that adverb is so key, he earnestly, he put his whole heart into it, bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance and faith, to converting and believing in the gospel. But the Holy Spirit was telling him he had to go to Jerusalem, and there he would encounter imprisonment and hardship. But it didn't so much matter to him as long as he was able to finish glorifying the Father, as long as he, like Christ, was able to finish his mission, which he defined as bearing witness to the gospel of God's grace. Everything he preached was that God is with us. Grace isn't a thing. We can't reify it. Grace is a relationship that we as creatures have with God by God's own will. And he was bearing witness to that gospel, that God came so that we might enter into relationship with him, so that we might know him, the Father and the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then St. Paul said that this grace that he had shared with them comes with a task. I solemnly declare to you this day that I'm not responsible for any of your blood, for I didn't shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. Plan of God to enter into that communion. He had given it all to them, but they had to embrace that gift. They had to live in accordance with it. Paul was saying these words precisely because in Ephesus, with all its human culture, with all its temptations, there were many who weren't quite yet as earnest as Paul. There were many who wavered. So he wanted, at the very end, to let them know that they have this responsibility before the Lord. In the same way we do. We're stewards of this great gift of God. God wants to help us to bear great dividends, but that's where our earnestness is implicated. Today, the church celebrates a saint who lived with this earnestness, who by his life, as did St. Paul, glorified the Lord by the works that flowed from him in communion. St. Isidore wasn't just one who bore fruit in his prayer, bore fruit because of his sacramental life. He really is one of the patrons of workers because of the way he united his entire day to the Lord. There's a famous story that when he was working in the farm, he would occasionally absent himself to go to Mass. And sometimes the preacher would preach a little bit longer than the average. And so when that was the case, he had basically prayed that his guardian angel do his work for him. And while he was away, the workers saw that Isidore's work was not diminished. And Isidore himself was able to see that his guardian angel was working right alongside of him. What a beautiful story this is, because we never work alone. Saint Isidore had this incredible supernatural vision because of his knowledge of the Lord and all that the Lord was constantly given. And that supernatural knowledge is proposed to us today, that no matter what work we're given to glorify the Lord, the Lord sends his helpers. We won't be working alone. Our guardian angels have been sent to us precisely to help us to glorify the Lord all the more. The gospel today was said during the celebration of the first Mass. What a beautiful Eucharistic prayer it is, as Jesus in the Mass prays for us. Let us pray with him to the Father, that we, with Jesus, as his body and bride, might glorify the Father by accomplishing the work he has given us to do in Christ, just as St. Paul and St. Isidore before us.